Galatians chapter 4, 19. Galatians 4, 19. Being that it's Mother's Day, a little different message than usual. I try to give expository messages for the most part, but this one will be more, it will be expository, not from perhaps Galatians 4:19, although we are going to look at what it really means. But we're going to have more of a topical message this morning, and the title of the message is Travailing in Birth. And if you look at Galatians 4:19, it says, "My little children, of whom I have travailed in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Can I read that again? It's short. "My little children, of whom I have travailed in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking. How can an apostle, how can a man travail in birth? I thought travailing in birth was only a female function. You might say, "Pastor, are you starting to go with the crowd in these days?" I am not, I assure you. But let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask you that you would work in our hearts this morning. And Father, that we, along with the Apostle Paul, would travail in birth. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I've talked with my wife the last day or two about the birth of our children. We tend to do that when we have an anniversary. We talk about our dating days and our how the Lord brought us together. Mother's Day, about her having children, and Father's Day, and such thing. And I asked her the question, you know, "Do you remember specifically the birth of all the children?" And, you know, some more than the others, some more painful than the others, some more traumatic than the others. But I remember probably the best of all the children, our first. And I remember when Jimmy was born. And the reason I remember when Jimmy was born, there was a radio broadcast of a pastor that was a live call-in show. And I was hoping that Jimmy would be born by 12:30, because then I would call into the show and say, "Hey, my son is born." Well, he was born, I think, at 12:39, so I didn't get to do that. But so he was a little late in coming on that respect. But I remember that the woman who was the doctor was an old army doctor. I mean, she was only about this tall, and she was as crusty of a woman as you could get. I mean, you talk about a bedside manner that had no pleasantness at all. And I didn't particularly like her. I don't know that Debbie particularly liked her. But at the end of having the baby and all, I thought I'd get some points for the doctor, because then I said, "You know, that wasn't all that bad, was it?" And she looked at me, and she turned all the venom that only an army medical personnel could have, and she said, "Buddy," and she let me have a few choice words. So anyway, so I'm probably going to get in trouble again here today. But I trust that you'll know the intent of my heart. And here it goes. All the rotten tomatoes have been confiscated, right? Having a child is the easy part of being a mother. Having a child is the easy part of being a mother. You say, "But Pastor, how about the pain?" Moms, you ever been in pain since that time? Over a child that has crushed your heart because they disappointed you, because they disobeyed you. I can remember my mother, who all of you know is gone. Forgive me for remembering her on Mother's Day, if you would. I can't believe it, but she said she was quite a difficult child. And she said that she remembered, and I still remember these words from my mother, that her mother, my grandmother, said, "I hope you have a daughter just like you." Yeah, don't tell my sisters. She had two. I love my sisters. I'm thankful for my sisters. But my point is, there can be great pain in the raising of children. The harder part lasts for a lifetime. And I would submit to you, sometimes the pain is more bitter than the pain of childbirth. I want to encourage all of you that are here this morning that although this message, yes, is pointed to mothers, I think that if you look at our text for this morning, that it can be applied to men, because the Apostle Paul says, "My little children, of whom I travailed in birth again until Christ is formed in you." And so it's for men, it's for young ladies, it's for ladies that are grandmothers or great grandmothers or anyone that is here this morning. Can I just tell you this morning that some of the greatest mothers, in the sense in which I'm speaking this morning, are not biological mothers? I want you to process that. Some of the greatest mothers that I know, in the sense that I'm going to be speaking this morning, are not biological mothers. And I'm going to give you names this morning. And in fact, I just thought of one more, and I'm going to add her name, because you will know this one. Most of you will know this one. Number one in my mind is Ruth Slade. Most of you have met my Debbie's aunt. She's never been married, but she has had more impact on more young people. Not because she was a school teacher, that she was. Not because she was a school principal, because that she was. The greatest influence that I have seen in Miss Ruth Slade was in her children's choirs and in her Sunday school teaching. Literally hundreds, maybe thousands of children has she had an impact. And even greater impact than that was the nieces and nephews that she had an impact on. The second one that I would bring to your attention, and most of you would know her, is Miss Judith Collins, a missionary in Kenya, East Africa, for over 50 years. Working, and right now I saw on a table in a place 6 hours away from where she was, I saw some material, and I said, "What is that?" They said, "That is the Sunday school curriculum that Miss Judith Collins put together 30 years ago, and they were still using it today." You go up to Bala and see the school and the church, and you watch the children gather around her. She's never had a child in her life, but the impact that she has had. The third one that I would mention, and excuse my being a little prejudiced, is my own sister, Susan Blizzard Young. Never had a child. But let me tell you something, the impact that she has had on her nieces and nephews, on the Sunday school classes. She's a school teacher too. Yeah, that's right. But besides being a school teacher. And the last one that I would mention, and probably could mention many more, and you probably could mention them too, is Miss Roseanne Futerin. Been at camp for years and years and years. Never had a child. But let me tell you something. Has an impact on children far beyond. And the Apostle Paul, I believe, makes clear here that even men can be those that travail in birth. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, "We were gentle among you, even as a nursing mother cherisheth her children." May I encourage you that whoever you are, to put in practice the principles that I lay out, because that you would become a spiritual caretaker for children. But moving on this morning, I want to mention to you that when a mother births a child, when she travails in labor for a child, and that child comes forth from her womb, she has produced an ever-living soul. Can you let that sink into your mind? An ever-living soul. There are people out there producing children over and over and over again that they might collect a Social Security check, or that they might collect a food stamp check, or whatever it may be, never considering that that child is a child, that is a person that will live for all eternity. The care for that boy or girl, and the most important thing that a mother can do, that a father can do, that a person can do, is to prepare a child for eternity. As the Apostle Paul says it, travailing in birth till Christ be formed in them. It is work. It is labor that people might have Christ formed in them. I want to hasten to add two things. And you know these things, but I will stir up your remembrance to them. The first thing is that ultimately it is the Lord that saves. You can travail as long and as hard and as diligently as you will, but except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And we can make that, and I understand that I am mixing the metaphors there, but it is true that if we are to labor to travail in birth, that Christ would be formed in our children, in people, it is only the work of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. But having said all that, and having said that, we must also say that it is ultimately the response, it is not ultimately, but it is also the responsibility for the child's response to the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, into your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I want to read a section of Scripture that I believe is applicable to this, that we labor, that we travail until Christ be formed in them. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. You know that verse, don't you? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do I have an amen? All right, let's keep going. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and that bring good tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Moms, dads, you're the preacher sent. You're the preachers that are sent to your children. Now God can use a pastor, God can use a Sunday school teacher, God can use a Christian school teacher. God can use an elder, a deacon. He can use a fellow church member. But you are the primary ones that are sent to your children's. First of all, I'm going to give you seven things this morning. The first thing is that you must pray for your child. I've had different pastors, younger pastors, come to me and they ask, Pastor Jim, you're old now. They don't usually put it in that way, but that's what they mean. You're old now. Your children are grown. What would you do different than what you've done in raising your children? Folks, I praise God for the covenantal promises. I praise God for the promise that God has made to me and my children, that He will be our God. But the thing that I would change most is I would pray more for my children. I would pray more for their salvation. I would pray more for their development. I would pray more for their spouses. Now, that could be taken wrong. Somebody say, well, what's wrong with the spouses they have? Can I tell you that I have praised God on numerous occasions the way that God has brought the different ones to my children, and I'm thankful for them. But we must pray for our children. If we truly believe that it is the Lord that saves, that it is the Lord that gives the new birth, if it is the Lord that does the ultimate work of grace in their heart, then we must pray to the Lord of the harvest. We must pray to the God of the new birth. We must pray to the one that can change their heart. Folks, I can't change their heart. I've tried at times. It doesn't work. But God can change a heart. And so we ought to pray, God, change their heart. And the terminology in the picture that Paul has is he travailed till Christ was born in them. When have you travailed in prayer? I see Jesus travailing in prayer there in the Garden of Gethsemane. When was the last time you travailed in prayer? That you spent a night in prayer? That you spent an hour in prayer for your child, for your children? I've told you before, but I'm my mother's son. My father is stoic. He can preach and he doesn't cry. My mother would cry, and my younger brother would say, Mom, why are you crying? Are you happy or sad? He couldn't ever figure it out because she did both. But as we come to the Lord and we pray, Lord, save my child. Lord, cause my child to grow. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is he that starts the good work. And so we pray and we ask that he would start that good work. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, not of yourselves, it's not of the parent, but it is by God's grace, it is his gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. The book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and so I don't mess it up, I'm going to turn there. But Titus 3, 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his, you know the next word? Mercy, he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And skipping down to verse 7, it says, that being justified by his grace, being saved by his grace, by being righteous by his grace. And so we pray, God, do your gracious work. God, use me to be the instrument. I remember some years ago that we were going around the room in our home. And we just were asking the children, when was it that God brought you to faith? I've never taken my child by the neck and said, now you're going to believe, aren't you? And now if you're not going to believe, I'm going to let you have it. I never did that. I never put them on the spot. But I prayed and asked the Lord to cause that response in their heart. And so we went around the room one day, and I heard as my children expressed how the Lord and what the Lord used to bring them to faith. And again, as I don't remember all the stories of childbirth, I remember one particular, and I remember this time, I believe it was even a Sunday night, that my wife came out from the bedroom. She always would tuck the kids in, usually read them a Bible story, and usually pray with them. And she came out with tears in her eyes, and she said, Jimmy just asked Jesus to come into his heart. And so the Lord used her at a bedside, going to bed, to bring him to faith in Jesus Christ. And so we pray, God, use me to be the preacher. God, give me wisdom to protect from ungodly influences. God, give me strength for the marathon, yes, I said marathon, of parenting. God, may the children see Jesus in me. You ever prayed that? God, let my children see Jesus in me. God, may the sin and failings that I have shown be a showcase of how to deal with sin. You know, I think generationally, not biblically, but generationally, there was a generation that was before me that said that parents should never confess a fault to a child. I believe that to be unbiblical. I believe it's important when you sin against your child, and I know none of you have ever done that. You've never yelled at your child inappropriately. You've never disciplined them inappropriately. I know that I'm probably the only one that's done such things. But it's important for us to go to them and say, I've sinned. I had to do that not too long ago to my grandchildren. You talk about humbling. Grandpa really did wrong here. Would you forgive me? Do you know they were pretty generous in giving that forgiveness? But displaying, showcasing for them what it looks like to repent and to deal with sin. To pray, God, help me to be forgiving and a demonstrator of forgiveness. God, help me to listen to my children. Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Matthew chapter 7, 9 through 11. You're familiar with this, I'm sure. I'm going to start at verse 7. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what shall a man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? God, help me to know to listen to my children and to discern whether to give them what gifts to give them. And may they never be a serpent. May they never be a stone. But may they be those gifts that will propel them towards you. My time is very short, and so I'm going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We've gotten through number 1. I've got 6 more to go. And so really, what I'm going to do is just enumerate them, and I'll speak more about them this evening then, and I hope some of you will come and hear what those are. But I would encourage you to look through Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4 and going all the way to the end of that chapter. We don't have the time to read it this morning, but may I just read the first couple verses. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I trust that perhaps you'll take these points, and if you aren't able to make it back tonight, that you'll try to see where they fit from this text. Secondly, you must be a believer of yourself if you are going to lead your child to the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Thirdly, you are to be the example. You are to be the example. Fourthly, you must be knowledgeable in the Scriptures and the things of God yourself. Fifthly, you must be intentional in your teaching. Intentional in your teaching, in your training. Sixthly, have a story to tell. Have a story to tell. And seventhly, proclaim the bigness of our God. Each of these points are taken, I believe, directly from the text of Scripture that I've pointed you to here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. But I want to conclude this morning. All of it is in vain unless we realize that salvation is of the Lord. But I ask you this morning, whether you're a mother of 13, a mother of one, or even a mother of none, are you like the Apostle Paul, who says in Galatians 4:19, I travail in labor till Christ was formed in you? There's not a one of us here that cannot do that. We all can. And I would exhort you this morning to first start in prayer for your children, for those that God has placed around you. I conclude with a story that some of you know. I listen. You might not realize I listen, but when people say things, one of our people were saying, you know, I got awful tired of people. I'm going to leave names out, okay? I'm just going to leave names out. I'll tell the story. I got awful tired of somebody saying, let's pray for so-and-so. So-and-so looked like a hopeless case. Looked like they were not interested in the things of the gospel, the things of the Lord. That, you know, that nice enough guy, but just no interest in the things of the Lord. And there was a person that continually said, let's pray for him. Let's pray for him. And we'd have prayer meeting. We'd have different times. And the first thing they'd say, let's not forget to pray for so-and-so. Months went by. Years went by. Until Christ was formed. Why? I believe because there was travail. There was travail in prayer until Christ was formed. And now God has been glorified. There's been several, and I'm sure that you have several, that you've prayed for. And if you don't have several, can I exhort you to get several, that you travail until Christ is formed. And once Christ is formed, don't quit travailing, but you can sort of go to the next one, right? Can I exhort you to find those that you travail until Christ is formed in them? And I don't know what the future or the end result, but there was a guy that I have diligently prayed for at least 4 years. And it looks like Christ may have been formed in them. Folks, mothers, you have led the way for us. You have given us, many of you have given us examples of how to travail in birth, how to travail in child rearing, and may now we follow your train and travail till Christ be formed in our children, in our grandchildren, in those that are around us. Let us pray. Father, first of all, I would like to confess to you, and I do confess to you, that my travailing isn't very diligent in this area. And Father, I pray that you would forgive me, and that for Father, that if there's anyone else here that has failed to travail in seeing Christ being formed in those that are around us, oh Father, give us a desire to see Christ formed in people. Father, we have children that are here. There's children in the junior church, and we pray, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and that you would draw them to yourself. And Father, I pray if there's a child here or even a grown-up here this morning that knows not Jesus Christ, that Father, they would see their need, that they would see that they're a sinner, that they would see that only Christ can save them. And Father, may they see the love of their mother and the love of their father, and may they know that that God has placed them there as their authorities, that they might work to see Christ formed in them. Father, I ask you this morning that you would make each of us those like the Apostle Paul, like others that we know, who have worked tirelessly to see Christ formed in children. And we ask you now, Lord, that you would form Christ in many. We think of even the summertime with the CYIA young people going out from our church. We ask you, Lord, that you would utilize them and that they might have the joy of seeing one come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray it all, Lord, in this, our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus.